Hey, it's Addie, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. I have a whole set queued up for you. Kind of takes a lot of twists and turns. I have some somewhat niche stuff from Bandcamp, a Pink Floyd song that I love that has not had great critical reception, so a fun opportunity for you to make up your mind about that song, see if you agree with me or with like the larger critical masses, and yeah, all sorts of stuff in between. So starting off this set is Kyoto by Phoebe Bridgers. This is off of her recent album called Punisher, which came out on June 18th, 2020. And yeah, again, this is called Kyoto. So once again, that was Kyoto by Phoebe Bridgers. And up next, we have a song called Fall of Love by the band Twig. I'd actually never heard of Twig, but I was doing some poking around on Bandcamp, and they came up as one of the essential releases of July 10th. This didn't come out in July. Twig was actually active in the 90s, but it was recently uploaded to Bandcamp, so now everyone has an opportunity to hear it on like a more universal platform, which I think is really exciting. And yeah, so Twig, just a little bit of background. Twig is an all-female group from Massachusetts, so super exciting, super local. I'm going to play this track for you and then go into a little bit of history of the record label that they were working with at the time that this track came out, which is called Harriet Records. So yeah, once again, this is Fall of Love by Twig. So once again, that was Fall of Love by Twig, and that was released in 1993 by a record label called Harriet Records. And just a little bit of background and history about that, because it's a local record label, and I think it's always so exciting to learn about like the music history around you. I'm going to read the Wikipedia on Harriet Records, so I'm citing my sources. No plagiarism or anything here. Harriet Records was an American independent record label based out of Cambridge, Massachusetts. So right down the block, like metaphorical block, because it's actually definitely more than a block away from WMFO to Cambridge, but like very, very much just adjacent to WMFO and wherever you may be right now. Harriet Records was founded by Harvard history professor Tim Alborn in 1989. The label was named for the children's book Harriet the Spy, which is cool. The majority of Harriet's releases were indie pop, 7-inch vinyl singles, but eventually they started releasing full-length CDs. Harriet is a bit legendary in the indie world for giving a number of notable artists their start. John Darnielle, Wimp Factor 14, My Favorite, Crayon, Sixth Sense and Natalie, Vehicle Flips, Tully Craft, and, drumroll please, The Magnetic Fields, which I'm going to be playing next. They all released early records on Harriet. And unfortunately, after 45 singles and 10 CDs, Harriet shut its doors in 1998. So with this Twig's record being released in 1993, it was somewhat in like the early to mid years of Harriet Records. But I think it's just great that we had like all these cool musicians come through Cambridge and record early formative albums and records. So because the magnetic field had sort of their start, arguably, with Harriet Records, some people have said other labels like formed the start of the magnetic fields, but since they had a beginning or recorded during their beginning at Harriet Records, I'm going to play a Magnetic Field song. This song actually was not recorded with Harriet Records. It's off of their 1999 album, 69 Love Songs. So this was like after Harriet Records had unfortunately closed. But I really like this song. This is like, I definitely don't know every single track ever by the Magnetic Fields, but this is one of my favorites from the ones that I do know. So, yeah, this is Nothing Matters When We're Dancing by the Magnetic Fields. And after that, you're going to hear Skyway by The Replacements, which is off of their 1987 album, Pleased to Meet Me.
Dance with me, my old friend, once before we go. Let's pretend this song won't end, and we never have to go home. And we'll dance among the chandeliers, and nothing matters when we're dancing. In tatters, you're entrancing. Be we in Paris or in Lansing, nothing matters when we're dancing. You've never been more beautiful. Your eyes like two full moons. As here in this poor old dance hall, among the dreadful tunes, the awful songs we don't even hear. And nothing matters when we're dancing. Tatters, you're entrancing. Be we in Paris or in Lansing, nothing matters when we're dancing.
We're dancing.
And nothing matters when we're dancing. In tatters, you're entrancing. Be we in Paris or in Lansing, nothing matters when we're dancing. Nothing matters when we're dancing.
You take the skyway high above the busy little one-way, in my stupid hat and gloves at night I lie awake, wondering if I'll sleep, wondering if we'll meet out in the street. But you take the skyway, it don't move at all like a subway. Got bums when it's cold like any other place. It's warm up inside, sitting down and waiting for a ride beneath the skyway. Walking down that little one way, I catch my ride most every day. There wasn't a damn thing I could do or say up in the skyway. Skyway. Skyway.
So that last track that you just heard was called Skyway by The Replacements, and before that was Nothing Matters When We're Dancing by The Magnetic Fields. Up next, we have two tracks, and then I'm going to give the PSA of the day. So you're going to hear Candy Says by The Velvet Underground, followed by Daydreaming by Aretha Franklin, because I love Aretha Franklin, and at this point I'm playing at least one Aretha Franklin song per set. Woo! So, yeah. But first up, we've got Velvet Underground.
Candy says, I've come to hate my body and all that it requires in this world. Candy says, I hate the quiet places.
the kind of guy that would say, hey baby, let's get away, let's go someplace, huh, where I don't care. He's the kind of guy that should give you everything and trust your heart, share all of your love till death do you part.
All right, so that was Daydreaming by Aretha Franklin off of her 1972 masterpiece, Young, Gifted, and Black. And before that, you heard Candy Says by the Velvet Underground off of their 1969 album, The Velvet Underground. I have a public service announcement for you. I'm recording this show remotely, so I don't have access to like the whole thick binder of public service announcement, so this is going to be a repeat for you regular listeners. Sorry about that, but I think it's an important one. So, this is the Know Your Cell Phone Rights PSA. Know your cell phone rights. Whether you're taking your cell phone with you on a walk, in your car, or to a civil protest, you should know your legal rights. The U.S. Supreme Court unanimously ruled that police must obtain a warrant to search a person's cell phone. However, a phone without a passcode can readily be searched by anybody holding it, and a Virginia court ruled that a defendant can be compelled to unlock a device that's protected only by a fingerprint sensor. So consider using a full password and setting your phone's screen to lock very quickly when no one is using it, particularly if you expect to be in a potentially volatile situation. While the police can't legally force you to unlock your phone, they can ask you to. And if you don't do that, and if you do do that, you've forfeited your rights. The best answer to a cop's request to search you, your vehicle, or your phone is, "No, officer, I do not consent to a search. Thank you." Finally, remember that the police can always ask a judge for a search warrant. So think carefully about what you store on your phone, including photos, contacts, and app data. You can learn more about your rights from the Electronic Frontier Foundation on the web at EFF.org. A public service message from the EFF and your freedom-loving friends here at WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Okay, up next, I have an artist that I'm really excited to share with you all. Their name is Nikki Flowers, but in like various projects, they have different like pseudonyms. And in this case, they're doing synthesizer-only covers of The Smiths. So they're called The Smiths, which is like hysterical and awesome. There's like a little blurb about this project that I'm going to read to you from Bandcamp. Says, in an off-site 1983 interview with Sounds, Morrissey proclaimed that there is nothing more repellent than the synthesizer. Morrissey was, of course, completely wrong, but hearing the Smiths songs he wrote with Johnny Marr performed solely on synthesizers really drives home how wrong he was. This collection of 8 Smiths songs, so they're talking about like the whole The Smiths album, this collection of 8 Smiths songs from electronic music producer Nikki Flowers also reinforces the fact that a great pop song is a great pop song, no matter how it's performed. Hearing these songs in a purely electronic context is more than just a novelty. It's a celebration of the art or pop music in all its forms and a reclamation of these classics from the dour old sourpuss who helped that give them to us in the first place. So yeah, there's like an entire album of Smith songs by the Smiths in synth-only form, and I just think that's really, really awesome and really funny. Like, the name The Smiths is just, like, it's brilliant. So, and the fact that, like, they're playing synth-only versions of songs by an artist that proclaimed to hate synthesizers. Everything about it, I think, is just, like, absolutely genius. So thank you, Nikki Flowers, for bringing us this wonderful, wonderful creation. I'm going to play for you This Charming Man by The Smiths. Okay, I hope you enjoy it. Even if you don't enjoy it because it's like only synthesizer, I think like you should at least be able to appreciate the concept as I do. And I think it's also like a good version of the song. But I'll let you make up your own mind. Here is This Charming Man by The Smiths.
Thank you.
So again, that was This Charming Man by The Smiths, which I hope you've enjoyed. Up next, I'm going to play a Pink Floyd track, just kind of segueing into that because Pink Floyd was very much known for their use of synth. And that's not quite as prevalent on this song that I'm going to play for you, which is called Alan's Psychedelic Breakfast. But I think it's a really, really great Pink Floyd song. And a very interesting one, and like one worth thinking about and discussing. So I'm just going to play it for you and then loop back and discuss the components of the song, get a little bit philosophical and like pretty like nitty gritty semantics, and talk about what it really means to be a song, whether this counts as a song, and also go into some of the critical reception of it, which was largely negative. But I am very much in the positive camp. I think it's a great song. So, without further ado, here it is. This is Alan's Psychedelic Breakfast by Pink Floyd off of the 1970 album Adam Heart Mother.
Marmalade, I like marmalade. In Los Angeles. Microbiotic stuff. Microbiotic stuff.
That's ready for the gig.
I'm driving on the radio to sleep.
I know.
That's ready for the gig. I'm driving on the radio to sleep. I've got all the electrical stuff. I can't bother with that. So I'm really going to bother with it. I don't mind my back. I'm not on the radio. It's not going to be late. I don't mind my back. I'm making good air.
Thank you.
it's a blank.
So that was Alan's Psychedelic Breakfast by Pink Floyd. And one thing to note is that because of like the remote recording that I'm using and the software that I'm using to record this show, it is a bit more difficult to like modulate sounds than it is in the actual studio. So I don't know if this recording is going to do justice entirely to that song, just because it has like a lot of different layered sounds that I might not be able to like record in the same capacity here. So I would recommend listening to it on your own time, though it is a long one. so definitely got to carve out a slice of your calendar for that. But yeah, that was Alan's Psychedelic Breakfast, which is a three-part instrumental. There's like three different segments. And you can hear Alan, who was actually a Pink Floyd roadie, Alan Stiles, talking about breakfast. Like there's that one line where he's like, "Marmalade, do you like marmalade?" That was my British accent there. And you can also hear him making breakfast. The first time that I listened to this, there's like this noise. It's in like the second and third musical interludes, and I thought it was like rain, and I had this vision of like the whole band sitting in the kitchen, this guy's making breakfast, it's just like pouring rain outside and you can hear it on the recording. But actually, it's like him frying bacon. And I was reading about this album, Adam Hartmother, in Goldmine, which is a music magazine. And it says that in concert, Alan would even fry egg and bacon on stage to add to the sense of occasion, which is like kind of funny and cool and wild. Like you're just at a Pink Floyd concert and this guy's like making bacon. Kind of crazy. But yeah, I think that this is like a really interesting piece. And I really like it. It hasn't been that well received. And one thing that I think is interesting is like whether or not people classify it as a song, because that has very much been a point of division. So in Goldmine magazine, there's a quote attributed to Roger Waters, where he says, "I've always felt that the differentiation between a sound effect and music is all a load of," and then I can't swear on the radio, but he says a curse word, and he says, "Whether you make music on a guitar or a water tap is irrelevant." And throughout this song, you can very much hear, like, especially at the beginning and the end, there's like that consistent dripping noise of the water tap. So I think like that this piece is able to sort of blur that line between like what is traditionally considered an instrument, like a guitar, and what's not traditionally considered an instrument, like a water tap, and how those both have the potential to make music and to be part of a song. On the other hand, in Sputnik Music, Irving Tan did a review of the album, and he described Alan's Psychedelic Breakfast not so much a song, but rather an ambient psychedelic sketch, according to Wikipedia. So, I mean, take what you mean with ambient psychedelic sketch, but whether or not this could be qualified as a song. Additionally, like the fact that it includes like talking and sound effects that are not used toward rhythmic ends, like the dripping tap does set a beat to some extent for the song, but like Alan banging around the kitchen and Alan like washing dishes and Alan like really, really loudly eating cereal, like those don't so much set a rhythm, which I think like very much complicates the debate of what it means to be music and what it means to make a song and like what qualifies as that, especially because this track has like those parts that, like, those instrumental parts throughout it. So it combines, like, what would traditionally be considered music with, like, guitar parts with some non-traditional elements. So, like, if you were to listen to that track but without the guitar parts, like, what would you think of it? Would you think of it as music? Would you not? I just think that's really interesting to think about. And, you know, just the fact that it's on an album with other songs, does that make it a piece of music? Like, what, how are we defining music? How are we defining songs? All that. And so I think that this song is really interesting and that it brings up that sort of debate. And I also just like it as a song. I think the guitar parts are really well done. And I just think it's, like, intriguing. How many songs do you hear someone frying an egg during? Not that many. But critics didn't love it. And even Pink Floyd ultimately did not have great reviews of it, even though they, you know, made it. Again, in Goldmine magazine, there's a quote from Richard Wright saying it didn't work at all. Quite honestly, it's a bad number. And David Gilmour saying it's the most thrown together thing we've ever done. So, it's not, you know, universally loved, but I still think I love it. So there's that. And if nothing else, it's a thought-provoking song. So yeah, that's the deal with Alan's Psychedelic Breakfast. I'm gonna transition to a little bit more of a modern song with a new track from Glass Animals. Glass Animals is releasing an album really soon. It's called Dreamland and it's coming out on August 7th. But they've been dropping singles, you know, leading up to that release. So I'm going to play a track from that. It's called Heat Waves and it was their latest single to be released from that album. So here it is. It's Heat Waves by Glass Animals.
Last night, all I think about is you. Don't stop, baby, you can walk too. Don't want, but I think about you. You know that I'm never gonna lose.
I just wish that I could give you that bad look that is perfectly unsaid. Sometimes all I think about is you. Late nights in the middle of June. He always been faking me out. He always been faking me out.
So again, that was Heat Waves by Glass Animals, and that's off of their upcoming release, Dreamland, which is coming out on August 7th. So mark your calendars, get excited. I know I'm really excited. I love Glass Animals, and I'm just really excited to see what else will be on this album and what it will sound like. So I'm going to sign off and then play one last song for you tonight. You have been listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. And this has been a remote broadcast. So, final song of the night, I'm gonna play I Give Up by Caroline Polachek off of her 2019 album Pang. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday and tune back in 2 weeks for another rendition of this show. All right, have a good one. Signing off.
Stop caring. When I care less and you care less than me. When I don't need and I don't believe in the hollow phrases you still repeat. Every damn thing I can to not go home. I-